Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Hacker Culture Podcast. I'm your host, J.R. Swab. You can find me all over the internet at J.R. Swab. My website is jrswab.com. My main microblogging platform of choice is Mastodon. My handle there is jrswab at mastodon.xyz. I'm also everywhere else, so if you don't prefer that, you can find me on Twitter too, but I don't really use Twitter that much. I just kind of post my blog posts there. Same with Mastodon, but I'm a little more active on Mastodon and engage more there than I do on Twitter. And yeah, but my main place you can find me is my blog. So today, in this episode of the Hacker Culture Podcast, we're talking about DNS, how it leaks metadata whenever you are surfing the web. So we previously talked about VPNs not being enough just to be purely private. It's a good way to, you know, mask some traffic. But as I was recording that and writing that for my blog, I started thinking about this, and I know that DNS is a problem because I mentioned that in that post and I mentioned it in that podcast. And with DNS, so how this works is whenever you are in your web browser and you ask for some website.com, it goes to some place, a server, to find out what IP address that is. You could type the IP address indirectly, and I think you would skip the DNS server altogether, but who wants to remember all those numbers anyway? So most of the time, this is defaulted on your router to be whatever your ISP wants it to be. And we know we can't trust ISPs because some of them have been known to manipulate data and also sell the data that they get to, I guess, the highest bidder who wants to buy the information off of you. So they know who you are because you pay them money every month for the service. So they say this account keeps connecting to these, you know, they keep asking for these websites. So even if your information is encrypted, even if you're going through a VPN, that information is still available. So they still know where you're going, and potentially what you're doing. And they can still use that information to sell, I guess, advertisers, researchers, whatever, this data about you. And so this also contributes to being ads being targeted to you across the web. And this is terrible, actually. I don't pay my ISP to like track me. I pay them to give me internet service. Internet service as in like the outer internet, the greater worldwide web. A solution to this is mesh networking, which I'm starting to spin up here in my house, actually. There's a mesh network in the closest city to me, but I'm not that close to that city, so yeah, I'm the only one here. But I'm gonna set up a mesh network. I'm gonna have like a open Wi-Fi. I'm gonna have a little web server on there and everything, and see where it goes. I won't tie it into my ISP because I don't need people like surfing the web on my dime. But I do want to kind of get that rolling, because if we have enough of those and enough people hosting content on a mesh network, we won't be as reliant on ISPs. But that's not going to happen for a while. But there are people that are out there doing that, and I'm pretty sure we talked about this in the past as well. excuse me. The collection of this data, it's all because of DNS, right? Like I said, you request some site.com and your ISP finds it for you. You can change these though. These settings are in your router. If you're using a default router from a company that you buy internet access from, you will have to find out what it is, where the settings are. But everyone tends to have it. I know the router I have does have it in an option, but it's kind of hard to find. So I have to dig around. I had to go into like some weird like setting somewhere for like, this is the connection of my internet to my router, and then I go there and I had to go to like more settings, and I had to go like scroll on the page a bunch and then find it. It was a pain, but I found it, and I've been doing this for a while actually. The first the first DNS provider I used, that wasn't a default, this was years ago actually, was OpenDNS. And so this is, I don't know, fairly popular. They recently were bought out by a company, so you know, do keep that in mind. Cisco now owns it, so if you trust Cisco, then go for it. They OpenDNS has multiple types of domain of DNS servers you can set up, or you can add to your router in replace of your ISPs. They have one for families, which will block like porn essentially, and some other things that families don't want their children to be seeing. Then there's just a typical home one, which is just the free, also a free service. It just it has, you can customize what it filters, and it has some, you know, some protections built into it. And they also have a paid home version and a small business version. So these things are nice. So on this chart here, I'm looking at this chart, the default free home version, does say that it does advertise as faster than a typical ISPs would be. You can impose parental controls to protect the devices that are on the network that you have. You can customize these filtering as well. And you can have email support. Now, if you pay for the home version, you get some more stuff. Like you can like retain a log of your internet stats over the past year, which I don't particularly know why I would need that, but you know, if you want that, there it is. And you can also restrict internet access to specific whitelisted domains for a more locked down environment. So if you are, say you're in your home and you don't want people that are in your home network accessing Facebook.com, if you pay for their paid version, you can block it. So there's a good option there for you as well. That's the first one I use. I just use the home free one. It does a little bit faster. It speeds up a little bit, and it's pretty well done. What I was using after that was a service called OpenNIC, N-I-C. This is OpenNIC.org. And this is very similar to the other one, except this one is like an open source democratic version of the one I just mentioned. And so this is a little bit more freedom respecting, in my opinion. Like it's not a company saying that, well, you can't access this stuff if I don't want you to. They have their own top level domains too, so you can have like a .gopher domain, which is cool if you're into like Go and .geek and stuff. You can actually buy domains from them. They support peered networks like Peercoin, Embercoin, New Nations, which is a TDL for emerging countries. And everything is supported from this through donations. So there's no paid version. Everything is 100% free. You can see their GitHub account as well at OpenNIC. So when you go here, you can click Find Out More. I believe this is where this information is. And it takes you to their wiki, which is wiki.opennic.org/start. And you can go to, there is a list somewhere. Yes, here's a list of their services. So there's tier one services, tier one servers, which is the ones that are the ones that I guess the this nonprofit owns. I assume this is a nonprofit, but they all have this opennic.glue address. And they have IPv4 addresses, IPv6 addresses. And they also tell you, like, you know, does this host name, does it anonymize your logs? Does it keep logs? Does it encrypt things? Is the DNS encrypted? Which is a relatively newer thing, I believe. You can encrypt DNS requests, which is even better, in my opinion, than just using, you know, typical DNS. But that's their tier one, which is basically, you know, ones that I believe OpenNIC themselves, but be it a nonprofit or what, does control. And there's tier two, which is basically the democratic version. I guess it's just like anybody who makes it could just put their stuff here, right? So you can go through here. So this is on servers.opennic.org. You can scroll through and you can see like who's online, who's offline, who's failing. And you can look for the ones like who's close to you, right? So some of these have the locations in the name. Actually, most of them do. So this one says ns4.tx.us, which is a Texas one. And so you can search through like, okay, well, I want no logs. I want the DNS to be encrypted. And so, you know, here's one right here. This ns3.vic.au.dns. That one is working. It says it passed. It's not down. It didn't fail. It's not offline. And they have IPv4 addresses, IPv6 addresses. And what's cool about this, though, they have host names, right? And these host names I believe you can use this in the new Android update for Android. In Android P, there is an option under like Wi-Fi network settings, which says private DNS. You have to put in an actual like host name, like a domain name, because Android needs to resolve whether it's IPv4 or IPv6, depending on your network. And so you can put this in there, this host name that's on servers.openit.org, and you could essentially route all of your traffic on your Android device through a different DNS, which I'm actually testing right now with another service. And this service is came out this past year. This is offered by Cloudflare, and it is their 1.1.1 service. And their slogan is, you're one step away from browsing faster and more private. Okay, that's cool. A little bit worried about using this. I wanted to test it. I was like, yeah, I know Cloudflare is fast. It's real fast. But there's also that instance in the past where they have, you know, kicked off, you know, what is that guy named? The Daily Stormer. They just booted him off their platform, essentially making its website inaccessible. And I was like, that's kind of alarming because, yeah, even though, like, no one, like, we, that is like a neo-Nazi based site, apparently. I've never been there to take people's words for it. It's a bad precedence. So I was a little worried about that. But upon some research, though, I came across this article on Wired.com, which I'm going to read this paragraph here for you, because this gave me a little bit more a sense of, like, okay, maybe I can trust them. We'll see where it goes. But it says here, and I quote, Cloudflare, which protects websites from denial of service attacks, is best known for dropping neo-Nazi website The Daily Stormer as a customer, effectively exiling the Stormer from the internet, following the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in August 2017. Immediately, though, which I did not know this part. Immediately, though, Cloudflare CEO Matthew Prince said he regretted his decision and would in the future not attribute acceptable speech. Here's a quote from him, the CEO of Cloudflare. He says, literally, I woke up in a bad mood and decided someone shouldn't be allowed on the internet. No one should have that power. So that's what he said. So I'm like, okay, that's like, at least they know that. He said that, so that kind of reassuring to me. Not that I think that neo-Nazis should be allowed on the internet. Like, I think it's a stupid mindset. But at the same time, it's like, where does that line end, right? Like, what if they start knocking off people that are like, I don't know, the Pope's website? You know, like, is that a legitimate reason to kick somebody off the internet? Like, I don't know. It goes on to say, now, in one of the first tests approach, Cloudflare is among the few web firms continuing to provide service to gab.com. So gab.ai. So this is actually pretty interesting, that they are actually supporting gab.ai after apparently somebody who that shooting in Pittsburgh in the Jewish synagogue. Apparently the guy was on Gab saying anti-Semitic things, and Gab didn't kick him off. And people have been fighting back against Gab for that. And apparently Gab uses Cloudflare, and Cloudflare is saying, no, we're not going to kick them off Cloudflare. Which is smart, because it wasn't the platform Gab or the guy who owns it or any of those people saying those things. And it was the one guy who shot up the synagogue. And it also wasn't, even if they kicked him off of that platform for saying those things, that would not have stopped him from doing what he did anyway. So I think this is a good precedence they're setting. So do keep in mind, if you want to use Cloudflare's DNS, it is fast. They are supporting the DNS over TLS, like secure DNS requests. So it's encrypted. So even if someone's snooping on your traffic, they don't know what you're requesting, because it'll be encrypted as well. They're supporting that. And so it's really interesting. I'm using this right now on my services. This is my default DNS for my routers and my Android device, and any other place I can actually change it. This is what I'm using, and it works really well. It's fast. It's reliable. I do notice, though, on the Android settings, it does make apps act a little finicky sometimes. So what I noticed is when I changed my DNS settings in Android, when I open up a new application that hasn't been opened on that since, before I changed it, it like doesn't want to work. The app's just like, I don't know what to do, and it's kind of weird. But it doesn't eventually just like find itself. So keep that in mind. I don't think that is Cloudflare itself, but I think it's the Android setting, that option. I think that's what's causing the issues on the Android device. So keep that in mind. The reason I like this is because prior to that, prior to realizing this setting existed, I was testing out Cloudflare's app for this. They have an app called 1.1.1. Maybe it's 1 to the 4th power. I think that's what it's called on the Android store. Anyway, they have an app on the Android store which you can set it up so that it will act as your DNS, but it uses the Android VPN service, that like feature. And so if you want to connect to both a VPN, say that you're using Mullvad like myself, you want to use Mullvad to encrypt all traffic just in case anything is not HTTPS, and you want to use a different DNS, you can't do them at the same time with that. When you had that app being used, you can't use both apps on VPN. There's only one VPN at a time. And so when I found that, I said, that's super sweet. And I got rid of the app because I didn't need it anymore, and I put it the host name into that setting. So now I can use my VPN and this DNS resolver for even more privacy and when browsing the web on my Android device. It's been interesting, and this whole idea, though, because of this, I've been thinking about, do we even really need VPNs as like a way to be private? Because honestly, like everyone knows VPNs aren't really private. It's only private until you get to your VPN provider, and then they can do whatever they want with your data. But the main reason for using it is to encrypt web traffic between you and the site you're using. Right, and so if using that doesn't block people from snooping on where you're going, and you're using a different DNS server, and you're encrypting that traffic through an encrypted DNS provider, then do we really need VPNs? Because most of the web content we go to is served over TLS, HTTPS, and so that's all encrypted anyway. So do we? The only benefit is that they won't see the IP addresses. So if you are on a network, they could see your IP address. Like, okay, he requested this. I didn't know what he requested because I'm not using his DNS, or he's not using my DNS. But these are the IP addresses that are being sent back. So that's the only information. The only reason why I would use a VPN still is to even cover that other metadata from the ISP or from the coffee shop you're listening to this in or whatever. It's like an extra layer of security, so you use the VPN to like mask the IP addresses that you're using, that you're accessing over the web, and you use an encrypted DNS to then mask what you're requesting through the VPN, right? Because if you're not using the VPN, or if you're not using an encrypted a custom DNS, you could be requesting your ISP's DNS to serve up that information before you go through the VPN, and that defeats the purpose, right? So if you want to use it on Android, for Cloudflare, it's literally one, then the word dot, and you do that, so it's like 1.1.1, .cloudflare-dns.com. It works pretty well. I'm happy with it for now. We'll see where it goes. I may go back to OpenNIC and use one of their encrypted services, because they have a bunch on here that use DNS Crypt, which is the encrypted DNS. And are there any in the United States that do this? Let me see. What's this one? NL. Sponsored by PhillyMesh.net. So yeah, there's one in Philadelphia that seems to have to be encrypted. That's the only one I can see. There's one in France. There's one in Germany. Two in Germany. A couple in Canada. Some in Australia. And there's like this NE.DNS. I don't know what that's about. I think that's from OpenGlue themselves. So... or OpenNIC themselves. So, yeah, and you can go on these servers and you can see like exactly what they're doing. But I might try this instead to see if it is the Cloudflare DNS that's making my apps goof up on my Android device, or if it's just the option to be even using that in the first place on Android. This is interesting. I'm really excited about this. It's like been really much pondering this whole DNS thing. And the only reason, I can really even think about using the VPN is just to even hide the IP addresses that you're requesting encrypted information from. But you keep in mind that when you do that, you still push the push it down the road so that your VPN provider can still see what you're accessing through the IP addresses, even if they don't know what you're requesting, because they don't have like a DNS provider and you're just using somebody else's DNS provider or whatever. So yeah, let me know what you guys think. I'm interested in to hear your opinions on this, because it's quite interesting, especially with encrypted DNS, which I didn't like come across it until like last week. I was like, oh, this is actually a thing. Awesome. So you might think I'm a noob or whatever, and that's okay. If you want to talk to me again, hit me up at jrswab@mastodon.xyz, or you can message me on XMPP. You can send me jrswab@kode.im if you want to have a direct message with me. I have email services set up if you guys want emails for my blog posts. I have a LibrePay account if you want to support this show and my blog, or it's only like one place for everything I do. And if you just want to have a little passive help, there's an Amazon link on my blog. If you use that link to buy things on Amazon, Amazon will give me a cut of their profit at no extra cost to you. So thank you so much for listening. Appreciate your time, and I hope to see you again next week. Peace.